Simon, I can only imagine what you thought of American tipping customs while you were here.
I think I just got basically told $1 for every drink.
My trips overseas, it's hard for me when the custom isn't to tip like that, but I think they know that, so they kind of still expect the Americans to tip.
Do you give them like a coin, though?
Yeah.
Because we don't have a dollar note.
When we were in Scotland, I feel like I was tipping, coin, like extra coins.
I did not know that.
She thought I was hilarious with me trying to order a scotch in Scotland. That didn't go over well at all.
and then you gave a 10p.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of E-Commerce Unscripted. This is the podcast where we help you achieve WooCommerce mastery. My name is Sam Greenspan. I'm a marketer here at GoDaddy, and I am joined today by two great panelists. We call them Team Europe because I scheduled them both for the same one to try to accommodate their time zones, and it sort of worked. So it's very late for both of them. But first off, coming to us from the rainy season in the UK, Simon Porter. Simon.
Rainy season, that's like pretty much all year round there, Sam, I have to say. All right. But hello, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. And joining us all the way from Switzerland, Lea Oriol.
That was a good one. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a lot of trouble pronouncing her last name in the correct Swiss pronunciation.
He's been practicing. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I mean, Oriol is very difficult. I totally understand. Yes. And I love the Oriol. It reminds me of Oreo, the cookie. Oreo. So great. I like it.
I really like Oreos as well as a cookie. And today we are talking about checkout flow. And checkout flow is the process of someone adding a product to their cart, going through the checkout process, and finally hitting that button to submit their order and complete the purchase. E-commerce businesses can increase their conversion rates by 35.6% by optimizing checkout flow. It's that important and can make or break that many sales. So in this episode, we're going to discuss some of the biggest pitfalls that happen throughout the checkout process that can ruin the checkout flow. And we're going to discuss some strategies for stores to streamline and optimize their checkout flow on WooCommerce. But we're going to start off with some questions and some stats. So first question, Lea, what's your biggest pet peeve when you're checking out of a store online?
So, you know, aside that it's stores that actually don't ship to Switzerland, anything when I'm going through the checkout process that forces me, that requires me to create an account, really bothers me, especially if they don't have like a one-click option to use Gmail or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is. It really bothers me. And some of them just require you to create an account and then take you away from the cart. And then you have to go back to the cart page and you have to verify your email before purchasing. And but if you're doing that, you're definitely losing customers. And that's just really not great.
Absolutely. Simon, what about you? What's your biggest pet peeve when you're checking out?
It's a little bit similar. I really hate having to input credit card information, which sounds weird because I'm purchasing something. But like I hardly ever have my wallet with me. I have my phone with me, but I don't have my wallet with me. And then where did I put it? Is it downstairs? No, it's not. Is it in the car? Go out to the car, come back in the car. No, it's next to the bed. Of course it's next to the bed. Why would it? Anyway, so I would much prefer if they had a payment option where I can just use PayPal or something that I've already stored my card details on. Job done. I log in. I can do that. I've got my phone with me. I'm safe. It's nice and easy. Super quick.
For sure. And I'll tell you, mine is not being able to see the entire purchase price up front. So that means if I have to go through, if I have to enter my address before I can see what the shipping is probably going to be, or before I can put in the discount code that I have to see if it's actually going to work, I will wind up not putting in my entire address and going through that process unless it's something I really want. And that just grinds my checkout to a halt. The top reasons why people abandon their carts or quit while they're checking out. Number one, unexpected costs, getting hit with that during the checkout process. Number two, as Lea said, forced account creation. Number three, and this is a new one to the list. We've seen this list over the years from the site Baymard. This is the new one. Slow shipping has now become a major checkout flow issue for people. I think that's probably a symptom of shopping this past year during the pandemic when shipping became such a big issue and there were shipping slowdowns. Everyone was ordering things online that they never ordered online before. The final thing that slows people down during checkout flow is a long, complex process. And we'll discuss strategies to mitigate all of those as we go through our strategies later in this episode. All right. On the flip side, Simon, what's your favorite checkout feature that makes you more likely to get through the process? Although I think you may have said this already, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's sort of similar. I really like the one click, buy it now, less friction. I know what I want. I just want to pay, click, I'm paid, I'm done. That's my favorite feature. I do really enjoy that.
I will say though, I don't love the one click. Like when if you're purchasing like an ebook and it's one click and it buys it as like without taking you to a cart or anything, because I don't know which credit card it's going on or something like that. That one, that throws me a little. I like almost.
You
I like
it's too easy. It's almost like, yes, too right. easy for you.
I like a three click process.
the three click button. It's a new niche.
I love it. Leia, what about you? What's your favorite checkout feature that makes you more likely to get through the process?
Yeah, so I'm going to be very boring here. It's definitely international shipping. Mm. And the reason is I buy things online. The vast majority of it comes from outside of Switzerland. We are a tiny country of 8 million people. We don't produce much. And a lot of things that I buy just that isn't produced here, right? Even though I try to shop local. So what I really like is when it's very clear to me, can the product be delivered in Switzerland? How much will it cost me? Not an arm and a leg, right? And how long will it take, right? If it's 4 weeks, maybe I'll give up. But if that's made clear to me directly before I even purchase the product, or as soon as I add it to the cart, I'm happy. I'm just, my day is made. It's really great. Again, pretty boring, pretty standard, but really it's actually very unlikely that it happens for Switzerland. So that's where I'm at.
And for me, I really like a well-designed, well thought out checkout form, like one that looks good and that it's sort of intuitive, like maybe it advances the cursor after you type something in, you know, it advances you to the next field automatically, it validates your address automatically, things like that. I find really nice touches that show a lot of care, but they also make the process like just go a little smoother. You know, you're touching the mouse less, you're touching, you know, it's just getting me through it a little faster. So I like that. All right, Leia, what's the last cart you abandoned? And why did you abandon it?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk to you about my other obsession, but I really like interior design, even though I'm actually not great at it. And it drives my husband crazy because it's like, do we really need the extra throw pillow when we can barely sit on the couch anymore? Like, probably not. So I like to browse sites and I do add things to the cart. And I do on purpose, which probably drives people crazy, but leave it there for a few days, right? So I abandoned my cart on purpose because, A, we don't really need the extra throw pillow, right? So it does give me a few days to avoid impulse buys. And then two, I know, because I'm in email marketing, I know that people will provide me discounts or free shipping if I wait a few days. So when it's not something that I need the next day, I do this on purpose. So that has happened probably, given that we just moved to a new house, probably like 5 times over the past week. So that's one of the one of the reasons that I will abandon a cart.
That's interesting. I mean, I guess that's probably a good strategy. Abandon your cart, see if you get a discount. That's a little, you know, a little black hat e-commerce shopping, but I think it's all right. I mean,
for the audio listeners, she's now cringing.
Simon, what about you? What's the last cart you abandoned and why did you abandon it?
I got a story for you. And it was telescopic ladders. Okay?
All right.
Bear with me. Bear with me. They're really useful, telescopic ladders, right? I need to clean the windows of the top floor. I need to get to the guttering. But it's not something you particularly want to buy. And little did I know how expensive telescopic ladders are. And yet, the only ones I could find that were cheap enough would literally only let me change a light bulb. Never mind reach the top guttering. So I did actually think about buying one, put it in the cart. And I wasn't as savvy as Leia. I didn't do it on purpose. I just couldn't bring myself to spend that much money on a telescopic ladder. So I still don't have a telescopic ladder. And I regret the decision to this day. And so if anybody has a cheap price telescopic ladder, please let Sam know so I can buy it.
I like that you're going to use me as the middleman for your telescopic ladder purchase. I appreciate that. So your gutters remain uncleaned?
You know, they get moss and rain and get leaves and stuff, and they're still clogged. So maybe, yeah, if you don't know a telescopic ladder, but you know a clog cleaner, I'll have one of those instead.
This is a fairly widely shared stat, but 70% of carts roughly are abandoned, and on mobile, actually, above 80% of carts are generally abandoned. So cart abandonment is a significant thing. It affects checkout flow. And our final question, Simon, what makes you afraid a site is just going to steal your credit card and never send you what you buy?
I am usually pretty trusting of sites, but the one thing I do remember from a previous purchase was I think it was looking for an amplifier or something. I found one and it was dirt cheap. Sometimes if it's too cheap, that sometimes rings alarm bells. But the thing that tipped me off was I found another site that had a pretty similar design, but a different name. And I'm like, well, that's just a little bit too weird for me. Are you really going to send me this stuff or you're just going to steal my card? So yeah, if you've got like a multi-site thing where your sites are very similar, but with different names, that can look a bit dodgy, I think. Mm. That did turn me off. I didn't actually buy it from them in the end. And it was a little bit too cheap. So there's something off. There's something going on. That kind of, yeah.
I agree. I would be suspicious there too. What about you, Leia? What makes you so suspicious that you think they're just going to steal your information and never send you anything?
Well, clearly I'm not very good at it because that happened to me once recently.
Oh, okay. What happened? Yeah, tell us about it.
They didn't steal my information, luckily, or as far as I know, I've checked and it should be okay. But they never sent me the purchase and they have no way to be contacted. So it's clearly fraudulent, right? They just took the money and never did anything about it. So, and I purchased, that was one of the very, very rare times in my whole entire life that I purchased from my phone. And so I didn't do my due diligence that I usually do. When you know, when you're on the computer, you can see things a little bit better. Like you can see pretty easily if there is a HTTPS connection rather than just HTTP, right? You can also look for customer service information at a glance rather than having to scroll things all over the place on your phone. So I should have probably looked a little bit more, but definitely things like, you know, not having a SSL certificate, you know, not having customer service information, not having any other payment methods than credit cards, no clear refund guidelines. Like any of these things just make me a little suspicious. And clearly that didn't really work in my favor.
Yeah, for me, if I see the site telling me a lie, I start to think there's going to be more lies. So if I see reviews that are clearly fake or those little pop-ups that say like, so-and-so in this location bought this 3 seconds ago, when I know that's just an automatically generated pop and that a person didn't, those kind of things. It's one of those things where if you tell me one lie, then I believe that you will continue to deceive me. And that can extend all the way to taking my credit card information and, you know, going and joke will be on them because my credit card limits are not very high. And security concerns are actually one of the big reasons that people abandon carts. And in our strategy section, which is coming up next, we're going to talk about how to fix those. So we'll be right back after this to talk strategies for improving the checkout flow at your WooCommerce store.
Building an amazing e-commerce site doesn't have to be complicated. Delight your clients with hosting from GoDaddy and take advantage of our streamlined setup, built-in SSL certificate, daily backups, and nearly $6,000 worth of included extensions to get online and selling fast, all for under $20 per month. Visit GoDaddy.com to learn more.
We are back. Now we're going to go over some strategies for improving checkout flow at a WooCommerce store. So the first thing we're going to do is get into some basic strategies. And these are mostly the fundamental things that are really going to help you just get started. So the first one is getting rid of unexpected costs. The number one reason for cart abandonment, as we discussed earlier, are unexpected costs. That means hitting someone with unexpected shipping fees, unexpected taxes, their coupon code doesn't work. As Leia said, not telling them what various international shipping rates might be. That's the number one reason for abandonment. So, Leia, any recommendations of what sites can do in order to minimize the amount that they're surprising people with costs as they're going through the checkout process?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that I would recommend is offering free shipping when possible. Obviously, taking that into account for your total costs of sales, but you know, offering free shipping can be very helpful. And then, as I mentioned earlier, ensuring that shipping costs or taxes are calculated and shown as soon as a user adds an item to the cart. Especially in Europe, taxes can be very different countries to countries. So that's very important for people to know what they're going to be paying. Using your shipping providers like, you know, FedEx or something, that allows you to have live shipping rates on your website. So that's very useful for customers. And then, you know, WooCommerce tax rates are included in Jetpack, so you should also be able to use that or get a plugin specialized per different regions. So those are definitely items I would take care of.
Right. And Simon, your thoughts on ways to minimize the unexpected costs during the checkout process?
It's nothing worse than finding a really good deal. You've searched all the other websites. You go on, perfect pair of shoes, get to checkout. Oh, and there's a £6 delivery charge. Like, no, well, now it's not so good. And now I should probably go look elsewhere. That's really annoying. So just, yeah, I think, well, like I said, bundle that cost in, work it out, but then just offer the free shipping. I think it's a great incentive, and repeat customers and all that, you're likely to be in more favor.
Free shipping takes all of the guesswork out of the equation. It's very nice. And the next basic strategy we're going to cover here is enabling guest checkout. So something that Leah touched on earlier, and we're going to talk about other ways to avoid a forced account creation. But a simple way is in WooCommerce, you can enable guest checkout. So Simon, do you want to walk through just the very basics of using the guest checkout that's built into WooCommerce?
Yeah, so I mean, the settings are in WooCommerce. You'll find them in there. Basically, lets people check out without having to create an account, so they don't need to give as much information as they would normally.
Leah, what about you? Any thoughts on enabling the basic WooCommerce guest checkout?
Yeah, I think it's important just because when you have to create an account, it creates a stop and think situation. Right, it creates a sort of an artificial break. So if someone is impulse buying or at least they haven't really thought about it too much, then you're just going to make them stop in their tracks. And so you're going to be losing customers that actually would have been purchasing. So no, as Simon said, the setting is really easy to enable. It's just a checkbox. And so, you know, you should be able to be set up very quickly.
No, I think that's a good point about a lot of people make emotion driven purchases when they're impulse buying. And so you don't want to give them that chance to pause and stop. All right, we're going to move on to some intermediate strategies now. And here we're going to cover a bunch of WooCommerce extensions that you can use to streamline your checkout flow a little more, get people through it a little faster. So the first one we're going to cover is Checkout Field Editor. This allows you to it also allows you to add fields to your checkout. But for our purposes here today, we're going to talk about removing fields from your checkout. The ideal checkout flow, according to studies, has 12 to 14 form elements, but the average store's checkout form has 23.5 checkout elements. So nearly double, or in some cases, actually double what's recommended. So Leah, can you talk a little bit about the Checkout Field Editor extension and what you'd recommend in terms of using that to smooth out a checkout flow?
Yeah, absolutely. So the plugin is pretty simple. It allows you, as Sam said already, to remove fields, to edit fields, to add fields. A pretty common use case is, you know, the billing company field. That's probably not necessary, right? And just removing it just clears up the page, prevents your users from having to think about it. And then another thing is, if you're selling a digital product, you don't really need my full physical address, right? A lot of the time, you don't need that. So if you're just selling digital products, then just remove those fields, right? So yeah, it's like you just click on the field buttons and everything. It's very simple and straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, it is super simple. The setup in admin is literally drag and drop. Click a couple of checkboxes, hit save, and you are done. And as Leah mentioned, it's super useful for just removing those bits of information. Do you really need to collect those bits of information? If not, just get rid of them, because the more that you have on there, there's more likely to cause confusion. And is it optional? Is it required? Hit submit. Oh, it's required. I have to go back and everything else. It's causing friction between getting that payment. And checkout field editor is great. It's just nice and easy, super simple. And you can even adjust the size of fields as well, which might be another option to think about. You know, some of them don't necessarily have to be a full width field, depending on what you're collecting. So maybe you can shrink your checkout that way as well.
Now we're going to talk about another extension. And this one is going to address, Leah actually hinted at this earlier about one of her major pain points in checking out. And this is the extension WooCommerce Social Login. So this allows for simpler account creation, and more than 75% of customers say they prefer using a social login like their Google account, their Amazon account, their Facebook account over manually creating an account. Simon, could you talk a little bit about using social login on a WooCommerce site?
Yeah. So effectively, I mean, just what Sam says on does what it says on the tin. You effectively get to connect your store to the different providers, Facebook, Google, and so on. And then you get to place those buttons, as I'm sure you've seen everywhere all over the web, on your checkout page or on the My Account page, so that people can just, instead of having to fill in the WooCommerce form, they just get to click that button, log in with their social media account or other provider account. And it creates a profile within WooCommerce that links to their social media profile. So it just saves the customer a load of steps to fill in information they've already filled out elsewhere, and speeds up the process, really.
The accounts they create there, how do those connect to the standard WordPress accounts that someone would make if they registered for a normal account on an e-commerce site?
So when they click that button and go through the authentication process, that will actually create a user profile within WooCommerce that saves some of the information we get back from the social login. So, you know, from Facebook and Twitter and that, like, it will save some of that information. So it gets whatever they've given access to. So the username, profile, email, sometimes profile image as well gets pulled through.
And then they can continue to log in to the site using their social login, but it's tied to this WordPress and then WooCommerce user account. Yeah,
that's right. So they can, when they come back next time, they can just log in with the same button. Say sign in with Twitter, sign in with Facebook or whatever. It'll use the same account, and it will be still be using the underlying WooCommerce profile for them there.
Leah, any thoughts on social login?
You know, I think it's one of the best things that was ever even invented, because I lose every single one of my passwords. I am notorious for never remembering and having to try at least four to get into a site. So I am all for it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. At the beginning, I was very skeptical. This years ago, I was just very skeptical of using logins, because I was like, do I really want all of these things connected to each other? But now I don't even think about it. I just want them all connected to each other. I don't want to remember passwords. It's so much easier. I use social login when I have the app. Everything now, I sign in with Google.
But you ever get to a point where you can't remember which service you use to sign in, and then you end up having, oh yeah, I've got like three accounts, one with Facebook, Google, and Twitter. Is that just me? I mean, it might just be me.
I usually will always default to Google to try to avoid that scenario, but I'm guaranteed that there are plenty of sites out there that I have four to five accounts on over the years. Just every different email address of mine, every different social account. All right, the next extension we're going to talk about is URL coupons. So URL coupons is a way to send coupons directly in a URL. The coupon code field, interestingly enough, it can hurt conversions, as sometimes people will see a coupon code field during checkout and they'll say, oh, this site accepts coupon codes, I should go find a coupon code. They will leave the site, they'll go hunt for the coupon code, and some of them won't come back. One study found that around 1 in 12 people who abandon a cart do so because they couldn't find a coupon. So with URL coupons extension, we can get rid of that by eliminating the coupon code field altogether and just including the coupon in the URL. So Leah, could you talk a little bit about URL coupons and how you've seen it used and what you would recommend for stores using it?
What's really great is that when the URL is clicked, the coupon code is automatically applied. You can also do optional cool things, for instance, adding products to the cart when the user uses that custom URL. You could also add a redirect URL after the coupon URL. So that allows you to, for instance, redirect users to cart if that wasn't where you send them in the first place. So I think it's a very good extension. I do think that there are some benefits to having the coupon box as well, but it depends on every people's use cases. If you want to be very protected and you don't want your coupon codes to be on the web or anything like that, if you're not going to be using anything like referring a friend or things like that, then this option is really good for you. I think it's something to consider per your use case.
Right. And you can have URL coupons, but also still keep the coupon code field on your site. It doesn't force you to get rid of the coupon code, but it is an option you can do to get rid of the coupon code field with it. Simon, any thoughts on using URL coupons?
Just to say, you 100% described me for coupons. If I see a field, I am there. Like, I love hunting. There's some gratification about finding a coupon. I'm like, yes. In fact, there was a TV show once called Extreme Couponing. I think it was a US thing as well, right?
Yeah, we definitely had extreme couponing. And it was like a big trend here for a minute after,
That would be me if I had no shame. I love it. Yeah. So I get to do that online because I'm like, yay, coupon field. But having said that, if you don't have coupons in your store, they are not going to find anything when they go searching. Going to be immensely disappointed. I can tell you they will be disappointed. You may as well remove that field. Don't give them the option. If you don't have coupons, remove the field.
And there's an option there in the that you could do in WooCommerce to quickly remove the field. You don't have to do any custom coding to get rid of it when you're using this. You can just get rid of it. The final intermediate strategy we're going to talk about here are giving people estimated delivery dates. So as we talked about, one of the new considerations for cart abandonment, one of the new reasons for it that we've seen really spring up more so in the past year than before, are estimated delivery dates. People want to know when they're probably going to get the thing they order from you. It's become a customer expectation. So I was wondering if you both could give some recommendations for how to incorporate estimated delivery dates into a website.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's really good for anything that's consumable or anything that's likely to be urgent. Right, you will want to know, something like a couch is a bit less urgent than your popcorn that you really want for the weekend's movie night. So I think it's really useful if you can provide that. It's also great if for people that live far, so that are likely to have long delivery dates, just in general. So anything that has international shipping or things like that, I think it's worth having a plugin that really allows users to set expectations, right? So it's all a matter of setting the correct expectation and then potentially exceeding expectations, right? There's nothing better than getting something early.
It's one of those things, isn't it? I think we've all gotten used to things arriving pretty immediately these days, like almost next day should be standard. And sometimes that's just not possible. And providing that expectation up front just avoids the hassle of, potentially generating incoming support coming from a support person. It could generate quite a bit, and it's just a waste of time having to answer people that you could make painfully obvious at checkout or on the product page. And I guess it does, like Leah said, I guess it does depend what you're actually selling. You know, if you're a bakery shop selling cakes to order, they're not going to come super quick. They might take a little while to get together, and just letting people know when it's going to arrive, again, it's all about setting that expectation. And there's a couple of plugins that could do it. There's a shipping estimates plugin from SkyVerge, which will help with that. And there's a free, right?
That's free.
Yeah,
that's so free.
And there's a paid for plugin on WooCommerce.com as well. Yeah, I'm sure you can find others. It depends what you're looking for. If you've got something specific in mind, you might need one that's has more bells and whistles. But if you're just literally looking to put some standard delivery days, you know, as most of your products are 2 to 5 days delivery, then it might be something simple. You might not even need a plugin to do that, but it's all still expectation setting.
And just giving your customers peace of mind with having any sort of shipping estimate in there. And also if you're incorporating shipping methods that are offering things like next day shipping or 2 day shipping, those obviously will then carry their own shipping estimates with them. So when you're showing live rates or live shipping options from your shipping method plugins. And one other plugin beyond WooCommerce shipping estimates, which Simon said, there's a WooCommerce lead time plugin from Barn2 Plugins that you can use if you're doing custom or made to order or special products. It's really good for giving lead time estimates on that. And people will appreciate that because those lead times go beyond just shipping speed and fulfillment speed. Those go to creation speed as well. And so that's an area where customers may see wildly different, and you don't want to leave them guessing. Now we're going to move into our more advanced strategies for checkout flow. And the first thing we're going to talk about isn't so much a strategy, but it's a way to sort of understand what you're doing, how your checkout flow is going, and that's to incorporate WooCommerce Google Analytics Pro extension into your store. So Simon, can you talk a little bit about what Google Analytics Pro can do when it comes to observing, monitoring, and improving your checkout flow?
Yeah, so it's probably worth mentioning there is a Google Analytics plugin, which is the free version from WooCommerce. And then there is the Pro plugin, which builds upon that and has a lot of more bells and whistles under the hood, which you will probably find a lot more useful. So in general, it tracks pretty much all of the WooCommerce actions and checkout triggers that you'll be interested in. Things like the completed transactions, things like page views, viewed product, and so on. One of the interesting features about it, though, is that it will track the completed transactions through the order status change. So it doesn't rely on the customer hitting that thank you page on the front end, which can sometimes be a bit iffy, especially if a client's just closed it, purchased and closed it. They might not actually hit that end page and you'll lose that transaction in your analytics account. So in general, yeah, Google Analytics Pro just covers most things. And it kind of just shows you, you know, we're talking about customers dropping off during the checkout flow. It will give you the funnels through the checkout and at which stage they might have dropped off. You know, did they actually make it to your product page? Then they added the item to cart. Then they get to checkout and you've got a checkout with 56 fields, including your blood type and date of birth and mother's maiden name. And they've left. And so Google Analytics is the kind of place that you will see where they've dropped off, and maybe that's the area you want to concentrate on and improve on your site, and then run a test and see if it improves over time.
Yes, right, thorough of you. All right, Leah, any thoughts on Google Analytics Pro and using it for improving checkout flow?
You know, as you just said, I think Simon covered the vast majority, if not everything. The one thing I can think of is you can create user segments, so that helps you see where users come from, right? And so that way you can also see, hey, are the users that come from my products page all staying, and all of the ones that come from, I don't know, Facebook or something, all dropping, right? And that also allows you to sort of analyze, okay, where do I put my marketing dollars? Probably not in Facebook if they're not converting, right? So that's just a little nifty addition in addition to what Simon said, who I think covered probably 90% of use cases anyway.
Sorry.
No, it can't fault someone for having passion about a WooCommerce extension. And the last advanced strategy we're going to talk about today are incorporating multiple payment gateways into your store. So about 1 out of 12 people who abandon a cart say they do so because their preferred method to pay isn't available. On top of that, gateways can also help with that sense of security that we've touched on earlier, which is giving customers peace of mind of who's handling their transaction. So, Leah, do you want to talk a little bit about payment gateways and some ways you can incorporate them into a store to help get people through the end of the checkout?
Yeah, I mean, I think Simon definitely gave a very good example at the beginning of the show, right? Like, you never know where your wallet is, you never know where your credit card is, or it might not work, at least from an international perspective. My credit card because I do have an American credit card, I should have mentioned that. But my American credit card never works here because it thinks I'm being fraudulent now that I'm in Switzerland. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that it's really important to have other options, right? Like PayPal is a good one. It's probably one of the widest used online payment option. Google Wallet, Apple Pay, all of those are super important. Also, if you are a fraudster, like if you are a fraudulent website, you're probably not good at set up PayPal, right? Because they do have some checks and things to make you to make sure that you're compliant, right? So it does add some trust, right? Because if it's like, oh, PayPal approved them, therefore they probably are trustworthy, right? So that's one of the biggest reason, as well as enabling people like Simon to purchase from your website.
Right. Simon, your thoughts on offering multiple payment gateways?
I did want to mention what Leah said about Apple Pay and Google Pay. I think that's worth pointing out again. As we're all moving to mobile, that becomes way more prevalent. And I think not every single payment gateway will support that. So it is worth looking for those ones that do. Certainly there are some popular ones that do. So I would certainly look at that when you're considering, if you are considering a payment processor or a payment gateway plugin. Check if they've got Apple Pay and Google Pay support. And PayPal. I sound like I'm working for PayPal, but yay, PayPal. Oh, no,
I think you're absolutely right. I think with mobile shopping, I'm far less inclined to want to type in my credit card on a phone, not necessarily even for security reasons, because not just because I couldn't see the SSL badge or whatever, but just because it's a little more cumbersome to type anything in on a phone than it is on a computer. So I think I'm more likely to use those quick checkouts on my phone, and now with the majority of shopping is now happening on mobile as opposed to desktop, that becomes a real consideration for stores.
Is that a nice way of just saying it's because you're too lazy? That's essentially what you're saying.
I thought I gave a much better explanation than just flat out saying I was lazy. But yes.
We all understood what you meant. Don't worry.
It's more that I'm still, like, all these years into just touchscreens. Like, if I still had a BlackBerry, this would not be an issue. But all these years still into touchscreens, like, not, like, I still mistype as I'm typing things in. And, you know, if you mistype one digit of your credit card, you've now ruined the entire checkout experience for yourself.
That's actually a good point, isn't it? Yeah. If you just get that one digit wrong, you're scuppered. Yeah.
So lazy and sloppy is basically what I'm saying.
It just gets better and better. Yeah. What a catch. Yeah, I love it.
That's me, the guy who can't type a credit card into a phone. All right. We'll be right back after this for our question and answer segment.
Get your clients online faster and for less money with managed hosting plans from GoDaddy. Visit GoDaddy.com to learn more.
We are back answering some questions that we had submitted to us. My name is Sam. I'm joined by Simon and Leia. The first question, how would I set up products that people can either buy with a subscription, like recurring monthly deliveries, or buy just one time?
Chances are, if you're using WooCommerce, you're going to be using WooCommerce subscriptions. It is the most widely used plugin for subscriptions on WooCommerce, and it has a bunch of payment gateway support to go with it. So there really is no reason why you wouldn't. If you do use that plugin, you can create separate products for all your subscription types. So there is a simple subscription product type, as well as a variable subscription product type, and that just lives alongside your catalog of other products. So it doesn't matter if you've got simple products in there or even booking products or other certain special products. They all go together in harmony, and they can even be in the cart together at the same time as well. There's no worries with that. The cart and checkout page will show you the initial order value along with the recurring value of your subscription. And so that allows you to set things up for, like, memberships. Maybe you want a membership subscription that charges monthly. Maybe you want to do a weekly subscription. Maybe you're running a food box scheme that charges weekly. But there's lots of different avenues you can go down. But the plugin lets you set all that up. It lets you synchronize payment dates. It lets you skip next payment dates and free trials, sign up fees. It's the lot.
All right. Our next question. Other than conversion rate, what other metrics are most important for me to track for my clients' WooCommerce stores? Leia, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are quite a few metrics, right? You know, analytics is a very broad topic, but there are quite a few that can really make a difference. So one of them that I would consider is the email opt-in rate, especially if you're running email marketing, right? If you are getting, if you have like a sign-up or a email capture box, what percentage of your visitors sign up for your newsletter or create an account on your site? And the reason that's important to track is we've seen email marketing is super powerful. So a typical ROI on email marketing could be you spend $1 on getting, you know, marketing set up, you can get $44 in revenue. So it's just a very powerful tool. So getting a sense of that email opt-in rate is very important. Another one that I would probably track is the customer lifetime value, right? It's how much do you earn from your customer on average over their lifetime of business with you. So for instance, if your average customer buys twice and they spend $50 each time, then your customer lifetime value is 100. And that, the reason it's important to track that is it helps you determine how much you can afford to spend to acquire a customer and retain them, right? So that can help you figure out how much to pay for plugins, for marketing, for things like that. And then the last one I would track as very important in e-commerce is the cart abandonment rate. You know, someone who abandons a cart is anyone that adds one or more items to their cart but doesn't complete checkout. That's pretty high. It can be around 70% of people. But tracking it allows you to see if you can reduce it over time, you know, by, for instance, recapturing some of the revenue with cart recovery emails, or just doing some A/B testing, improving your checkout flow. That's a massive one that can lower this rate. So I think that's something I would track definitely, because you are just losing revenue when people abandon their cart. So those are the three I would track. There are plenty others, as I said, but I think they're important.
Yeah, those are great. If I could throw one more, I would say after those ones Leah's talking about, I think average order value is also an interesting one to track to see how much customers are spending in the average transaction in your site. But all of these valuable, and again, in the question, they include a conversion rate, which you know you can argue, but I think conversion rate is perhaps the most important. Although, you know, how could you? It's like children. You can't say who's your favorite, but conversion rate.
You just compared your children to a conversion rate. I love it.
All right, everyone. Well, that's going to do it for our checkout flow episode. I'd love to thank our panelists once again, Leah, Oriel, and Simon Porter. If you would like to submit questions for future Q&As, you can do so from the link in the show notes. The show notes will also include links to all the extensions and many of the sites we've talked about here today, so you can find all those and get those going on your site. And if you're looking for new hosting, we recommend GoDaddy's managed WordPress e-commerce hosting for your WooCommerce stores. It comes with nearly $6,000 worth of premium extensions bundled in, including many of the ones we've talked about today, including Google Analytics Pro, Social Login, Checkout Field Editor, so many good ones, plus a lot more, and it costs less than $20 a month. So if you're looking for new hosting, check that out. Leah, Simon, any final words?
No.
I hope your wife doesn't listen to this episode.
And, you I wouldn't worry about that. I'm pretty sure she's not going to.
But it's been a blast. Thank you, Sam.
It was a pleasure.
All right, thanks everyone. And we hope to speak with you again soon.
Absolutely.